Off Spotting 161.
Monday, November 14th, 2011.
Don't get in the car. You can walk back.
Doctor, we have lunch. We don't miss lunch, no matter what, remember?
You pulled away from me in there.
You perjured yourself, Edgar.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Movie Monday, and today we're taking a look at a historical drama just out in theaters. It's directed by Clint Eastwood.
The film is J. Edgar, and of course it explores the career of J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI from 1924 until his death in 1972. He served in that role for nearly 50 years through 8 presidents and 16 attorneys general.
The movie stars Leonardo DiCaprio as J. Edgar Hoover, Armie Hammer from The Social Network as his number 2, Clyde Tolson, Judi Dench is Edgar's mother, Annie, and Naomi Watts is Edgar's trusted secretary, Helen Gandy.
Now, as a historical figure, at this point, Hoover is pretty much largely a pop culture punchline. You think of him as a scheming, power-hungry, but cross-dressing grump. I mean, this film, J. Edgar, did you think that it was a worthwhile exploration of this man's career?
I was expecting something a little bit more sensational. I was expecting kind of an exploration of the thing that he's become. Just the fact that he had files on these people, and I was expecting something, I know, slightly akin to The Aviator. I was expecting to see J. Edgar's descent into madness, and I was sort of pleasantly surprised to see that it really handled his life and his legacy in a really respectful way.
Well, I will agree that it's not a sensational film. It's definitely not as loud and gregarious as The Aviator. I would definitely describe this film as a subdued one, a slowly and deliberately paced one. I can almost go as far as to say not a very, exciting film, but I thought that it was a solid film. I did expect something a little bit different, but I thought that overall it was very ambitious in scope, and that's what I will always give this film. That's why I liked it. I'm glad I saw it. I mean, it's running through 7 decades, and they have to deal with all of these period details. You're going to meet or briefly see really famous people from those times. You got Bobby Kennedy, you got Richard Nixon, you got Shirley Temple. So, I mean, just in its scope, I thought it was pretty good.
The thing that, to me, that was distracting about this film is that it does cover 7 decades, but it jumps around a lot of the time.
Right.
You know, you spend 10 minutes in the 60s, and then in the 60s, he's telling an anecdote that happened in the 20s, and then it goes back to the 60s. And I think that really caused the movie to lack focus. I thought it was a little bit of a mess, actually.
It was messy. I won't disagree with you there. But on the other hand, I mean, that, if anything, is what I did expect from an Eastwood film. Very sprawling, just kind of going where the mind goes, maybe stream of consciousness. Maybe it's the setup where you have J. Edgar Hoover dictating his memoirs, trying to tell his story. And so that's what we're following along. We do probably have to credit or blame Dustin Lance Black, who was credited as the writer of this film. He also did a movie called Milk, which was about an openly gay politician in California. Sort of historical there, but more of a straightforward, narrative. But I mean, I agree, it does jump around, and they only give you clues early on where you are, like what time period you are, what kinds of cars are on the road, what kinds of technology they're using. But I did think that they had fun with it. Like in some scenes there, you have J. Edgar and his number two, who we're going to talk about in a minute. They're in a scene, and then they cut to them together in the same environment, but in a different time.
Right. I thought it worked as a period piece. I enjoyed the costumes. I enjoyed the set design, as I always do. And I really liked the performances. Something else about this film, though, that I really noticed and that stood out in a big way was the lighting and the color palette. It was so drab. I think Clint Eastwood really has a certain look in mind when he's making period dramas, and he really used it here, and I think this movie could have used a little color.
Right. I agree with you there too. In fact, I was hoping that, when we jump back in time, that's where things seem washed out. It's the unreliability of memory, and that's what we're dealing with. But no, I think Eastwood is cultivating a look, a signature, and that's what we got here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, did nobody wear red before 1970?
Exactly. Well, that's also cinematographer Tom Stern, maybe, but I would attribute that more to Eastwood. I like that you mentioned enjoying it as a period film, a period drama. I like that stuff as well. I thought that it was a good film as a historical document or as an exploration of history, because basically this is the story in a way of how the FBI, this agency, this powerful agency, grew to that point, how it started off as a largely ineffectual office to one that's independent, that basically survived, as we mentioned, several presidents and several attorneys general, and kind of exploring the start of criminal science, of forensic science, and investigating crime crime scenes and handling fingerprints and building databases on citizens and, you know, activists, and the whole exploration of several famous cases, the Palmer raids and the fight against communism. You had the Lindbergh baby, you had the bank robbers and the gangsters and Dillinger. And of course, you can't help watching this film drawing parallels to the present time where, you know, history repeats itself, where the fear of terrorism or dangers to our country leads us to give up more and more rights or grant more and more powers to the government.
Yeah, I thought it was a very subtle commentary on some current events, but in a really historical context and not in a way that was trying to be obvious.
Well, I thought it was obvious, but I didn't think it was heavy-handed. I mean, I don't think anything Eastwood does is really subtle, but it was something that I could appreciate. I enjoyed. The thing is, though, is I think that this film is doing a more than one thing. It's exploring J. Edgar, you know, DiCaprio's character, this historical figure. It's exploring the history of the government, the FBI, and dealing with civil rights and such like that. And then in this film, there is a love story, or at least a buddy story, and I think that as we get into the performances now, that's really the heart of this film. That's the through line. That's what really kept me engaged, because at times, like you said, it's a mess. At times it's a little slow, but it's really the focus on the relationships between Leonardo DiCaprio, between J. Edgar Hoover and his number two, his assistant director of the FBI, Arnie Hammer, playing Tolson, Agent Tolson. So let's get into the performances, and we do debate, you and I, quite a bit about Leonardo DiCaprio. We get into this big battle comparing DiCaprio with Matt Damon and which one's a superior actor.
Film Spotting started that, and so now every time we see either a film with Matt Damon or DiCaprio, we have to kind of compare and talk about it. And I'm really on the side of DiCaprio. I can think of so many performances that he's impressed me with, and he really impressed me in this role also.
Well, I will agree with you there. I mean, I might fall more frequently on the Matt Damon side, but I think that this was a good performance for him. Maybe not his best, but a solid one. And yes, he's done some fantastic stuff. He takes chances. He's done historical figures. He's done Howard Hughes. He's done Romeo from Shakespeare. He's done Jim Carroll. He did The Con Man and Catch Me If You Can.
Right.
So I agree that this is perhaps something that he was well suited to, that he was talented enough to do. And, you know, DiCaprio just turned 36 years old last week. And the thing is, here in J. Edgar, he has to play this character, a single character, from the age of 24 all the way through till his death at age 77. So not a small task. And I think I'll agree with you. I think he rises to it.
I do too. I mean, this was a part that's really loud. It's screaming, hey, give me my Oscar right now. And
yes,
it's really showy. But I think he was competent. I think he took the role and he really did something with it. I think he really embodied J. Edgar Hoover's spirit.
But you know, while this film is an exploration of this historical figure and hitting all of the key points, and yes, being a little bit of Oscar bait, it came down to Armie Hammer to be the heart of the film and to bring the film, the part of it I think that we like the best.
The relationship between Tolson and Hoover was largely unspoken. There was, you know, a lot of things that were unsaid, and because at that particular time, the nature of the relationship was a little bit taboo. So I think Armie Hammer did the better job of conveying Tolson's inner turmoil through his eyes and through his body language.
Well, I mean, and again, this is J. Edgar Hoover. He was very outspoken in his criticism of pretty much every class of human being, including homosexuals. So it was a very hypocritical place for J. Edgar to be. And I would say, like you said, it wasn't sensational. And I think that Eastwood and DiCaprio did properly and respectfully explore both his urges and the things that are drawing those two men together. And they do touch, I think, in a very interesting way on explaining why perhaps J. Edgar might have gotten into cross-dressing as well. But I will agree that it was Armie Hammer that better illustrated the inner turmoil, the inner conflict, and why it was such a difficult place for both of them to be.
Judi Dench was great also. Mama Hoover was not a nice person, and she really messed J. Edgar up in a lot of ways. And I think she was really good in this role. She had this just perfect amount of creepy detachment and iciness, and I thought she was great.
She was fantastic. You know, at first I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if, you know, they're going to waste Judi Dench. We love Judi Dench. Who doesn't love Judi Dench?
Yeah.
And here she's playing the mom, the maybe stern mom, the overly protective mom, but she does have a couple of moments where she can turn it on a dime, where she can suddenly be sinister and evil. And the film does explore, for example, why J. Edgar might have issues with women, and I think very briefly kind of almost giving giving us a very straightforward, stereotypical explanation about male role models in his life as far as his father is concerned.
His father is completely absent from the picture, and he's never even addressed. We never even find out who J. Edgar's dad is.
Yeah, well, they just sort of touch on that. And you know, Judi Dench, as the mom, does basically want J. Edgar, her son, who's a powerful and successful man, to have all of the trappings of that and to perhaps have a relationship with a woman. J. Edgar feels that he should as well, at least briefly. And so that's where we get the sort of non-love interest of this film. You've got Naomi Watts playing Helen Gandy, who J. Edgar takes an immediate liking to, and they have a lifelong relationship, but it's not a romantic one.
I really like Naomi Watts. She's one of my favorite actresses, so it was really disappointing to see this her in this role, because it seemed like they were trying to hide her behind the makeup. She really didn't have a lot to do in this film. She was just there as Hoover's secretary. She was not a person on her own, it seemed like, and I really wanted to see more from her.
Well, maybe I wanted to see more from her, but I'll disagree. I liked her character. In fact, I think her character is one of my favorites in this film, next to Agent Tolson. I think that she did a great job, first when she first encounters J. Edgar, and he's, you know, completely unable to be a romantic person with her, and he gets really excited about card catalogs, for example. Mm-hmm. They go on that first date. They don't really build into a relationship, but they have a different kind of relationship. It's an extremely loyal, lifelong relationship. And I think her depiction of that loyalty, that more professional affection for J. Edgar, I think that came through. You do talk about the makeup, and I guess we can do a brief tangent to talk about that. I mean, this film, because you have to have these characters spanning all of these decades, you've got them playing young people, and then you get them playing old people. Now, Naomi Watts, I would say, in fact, the women in this film age okay. You know, I think that they do a good job, but it was a little distracting, I gotta say, with the makeup job that they did for DiCaprio as well as for Armie Hammer.
He, at the end of the movie, DiCaprio really looks like a potato. He's very lumpy, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, are they trying to age DiCaprio naturally? Are they trying to strike a balance? Are they trying to make him look like J. Edgar Hoover? Because I just kept thinking to myself, what did they have to do to this guy, and Armie Hammer especially?
Yeah, Armie Hammer was the one that I thought looked like a potato, and so I think that was one of the downsides of this film. It is distracting. I think that particularly for both of them, their performances shine through all of the makeup, but it made me think back to when we were talking about that other film, The Debt,
right,
where you've got three actors young and three actors old, but they're different actors playing the same character. I thought that there were some liabilities to that, but here is something where I think that it might have worked, or it might have helped, because For a 36-year-old to play a 77-year-old is just a little bit of a stretch. They tried. I think that clearly they were going for the Oscar with it, but it was, I think, one of the more distracting parts of the film. Were there any other actors or personages, or, like we mentioned, some of the famous people in the film that you thought were worthy of note?
Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice has a cameo as Bobby Kennedy, and I think he's my favorite cameo in the film, because I think he really nails Bobby Kennedy from what I've seen of him on, you know, in archival footage from TV shows. I really think he did a good job also.
Yeah, I thought that he was great. I mean, he, especially with the diction and the way that he spoke, it didn't come off entirely like a Bobby Kennedy parody, or, you know, someone doing a caricature of him. So I thought he was good. We also got a cute cameo by Shirley Temple. In fact, I should have looked up the actress. I thought she was pretty dead on and a great child actress there in that scene. But I did want to mention Nixon. There's also, toward the end of the film, a very brief cameo by Christopher Shire. He was in V and some other TV shows, but as Nixon, I thought that he was enjoyable to see on. Well, not hamming it up, but really loving and embodying that character.
That's the thing about Richard Nixon, is that so many times when you see him played by another actor in a film, they really take the parts of Richard Nixon that have become parodied.
Yeah, it's just like Saturday Night Live.
Right, and amp them up. And this was really interesting, because you could see the little touches of Richard Nixon that you recognize, but it was also very subtle and very realistic.
So I think we agree, strong performances all around. The film does jump around. It's really kind of a series of moments that we see unfold on the screen. Did you have any particular favorites? Because I think, although I'm overall mixed on this film, it's remembering specific scenes that make me happy that I saw it. Did you have any favorites?
Probably the last scene between Tolson and Hoover where they're sitting down and having breakfast and Edgar is telling him about his work, and there's so much subtext and so many things that they can't say to each other, and you know that they want to, that it's really, it was very touching and almost a little bittersweet.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that's cinched it. That's what made me start to feel that maybe I'm not watching a pretty solid but not great historical drama or an exploration of a power-hungry madman, but maybe a love story is what this film is. And whether or not that was, you know, his intent, that's what I took away from it. And by that point, I was no longer distracted by the makeup. I was really in these men's head and really feeling for the lifetime that they'd pretty much spent together. Mm-hmm. I would say, though, that the geek in me did enjoy their kind of exploration of some of these famous cases, particularly the Lindbergh baby kidnapping. And, you know, I don't even really know the case. I should be watching more of the History Channel to understand what happened there. But in this film, the way that it's depicted, where they investigate the kidnapping of this baby from this house, and it comes down to this guy who's like, I know all about wood, and I'm going to look at the ladder that was used to kidnap this baby and find where the wood came from, and that's somehow going to lead to the person who kidnapped this baby. It seemed preposterous when they're depicting it, and I'm even thinking that this so-called expert is probably just taking J. Edgar for a ride, but it turns out to be a pivotal, you know, role in the investigation, finding the person that's eventually convicted for it. It was like watching a really old version of CSI. So I admit, I did eat all that stuff up. So yet another film here, I think, in Eastwood's filmography of really, really tough men who are misunderstood and have a sensitive side. And I do think this is a good resume entry for Leonardo DiCaprio playing yet another major historical figure. I got to ask you, though, that, you know, a lot of people have played J. Edgar Hoover on the big screen and the small screen. You had Oliver Stone doing Nixon, and you had Bob Hoskins in that role. And throughout history, you've had Ernest Borgnine, Treat Williams, Jack Warden, a lot of really, really well-respected actors. I do think that, you know, with the makeup and everything, it was a little hard for DiCaprio to play someone who's 77 years old. Who else do you think might have been a good J. Edgar, who, if this is ever tried again, should take that role?
I think that Paul Thomas Anderson should do a J. Edgar Hoover story with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ah, that seems to be a theme that's coming up quite a bit. And I will admit, that was the first thought that came to my head, at least. Not the Anderson part necessarily, but definitely Philip Seymour Hoffman is somebody who, especially toward the later years as depicted in this film, I could just see really nailing it.
Well, not only that, but just look at how he did in Capote. He really transformed his entire physical being to be Truman Capote. I think he could easily have done J. Edgar Hoover. I can't wait to see a film with Philip Seymour Hoffman as J. Edgar Hoover.
All right, but until that magical day arrives, if you want to see the life of J. Edgar Hoover depicted on the big screen, it's going to have to be with Clint Eastwood's J. Edgar, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Armie Hammer, Judi Dench, Naomi Watts, and many, many others. Jen, out of 5, how many stars do you give J. Edgar?
3.5.
I'll give it 3. So that'll give us a total pop spotting score of 6.5 for J. Edgar. You know, I think, again, it was a really capably made film with great performances, but on the other hand, I think that I can also wait to see it as a mini series on the History Channel or TNT or something. So that's our take on J. Edgar. If you're a fan of DiCaprio or Clint Eastwood, we'd love to hear your take on this or any other movie.
You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. Or best of all, you can leave a voicemail that we can share on the show at 815-310-0808.
You can also post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting, and you can catch us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
If you crave more movie talk, be sure to check out The Film List. The Film List is a podcast hosted by Heath Solo and friends. Right now, they're doing a series of Star Wars shows reviewing every film, plus the expanded universe and the special features on the Blu-ray set. That's the Film List podcast, and you can find them on iTunes.
As for Pop Spotting, please come back tomorrow for TV Tuesday, where we're going to weigh in on the pilot episode of AMC's new historical western, Hell on Wheels, and on Jen's one reality show concession, The Next Iron Chef on the Food Network.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of the Spork for our theme song, and thank you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. Aloha. Aloha.